So item 8 is a plan of subdivision at 80 Halperin Drive, 420 and 436 Bud Road, and 172 Phil Chris Way, under file DAS 26 of 2014. In accordance with the City of Winnipeg Charter and the Development Procedures Bylaw, this is a combined hearing, and the following item will also be heard at the same time, namely, item 9 is a variance at 80 Halperin Drive, 420 and 436 Bud Road, and 172 Phil Chris Way, under file DAV 153838 of 2014D.
All right. So, Madam Clerk, are we hearing then the subdivision and the variance at the same time?
Yes.
Okay. Let's begin that. So, we have a number of applicants registered first. So, we'll call Robert Ziegler. Okay, Mr. Ziegler is not technically the applicant then. Okay. Do we have a number of applicants? All right. I'm advised we should call Tim Fast, who is registered as the applicant first.
Good evening. I was told I was just here representing Mr. Vermaelen. You surprised me here. So,
sure. And so you're a resident. You're not a resident. You're at 14 Seabrook.
I'm at 14 Seabrook. I'm a family friend. I was apparently there. I have his being given. I'm representing Mr. Vermaelen. They are presently out of the country.
All right. Well, why don't we hear then, unless I'm correct in. Mr. Robert Ziegler can maybe speak.
It might be more helpful in this process. Okay. My name is Robert Ziegler. I'm a resident of Ramblewood Road for 31 years. I bought the property actually back in 1978. I bought one of these three properties because my son was in school, couldn't afford it, and he's the Scott Ziegler, who's registered one of the three people. So I think I have the authority to speak on behalf of all three of the people. As I mentioned, I've lived in the area for 31 years. When I bought it, it was Bacon Prairie. There wasn't much there. I believe that the application is really a joint subdivision instead of three separate applications. And it's brought before you because it benefits the three landowners. Most have been there a long time. It benefits the community. That whole area is now complete except for that one blockage. The area between these three lots is the only area where there's no throughfare. So that affects safety, school buses, fire trucks, ambulances, and actually even people walking. I walk a lot. People walk through the bush just to get within that community. I think it benefits the city because it will add three lots which can be developed and generate tax revenue for the city. It is consistent with the use. We're not asking for anything that's out of use. It's residential. It's along that line. It's consistent with one caveat that's being removed. You'll notice in the application, caveat 84 actually restricted any building that would stop the road. You have Ramblewood, which is where I live. There's this small little area of a couple hundred feet, and then you have Ramblewood North. And there was actually a plan and a caveat that no one could build to stop that road going through. In fact, the city's benefiting. The city doesn't have to do the road. The three landowners understand that they will be responsible for building the road and all the applicable aspects. So consistent with that, even the variance, there is a variance requested. I think there's an error in one of the lot sizes. I think the one is actually bigger than 1.85, but that would be finalized when Public Works determines the exact specifications of the road. But there already are three properties right on Ramblewood right next to this. One is 1.03 acres. That's 90 Ramblewood Road. One is 1.74 acres, that's 110 Ramblewood Road. Then there's a 2 acre, then there's another one that's 1.2 acres. So it's consistent with the neighborhood. Generally 2 acre lots throughout that area. So I see it as a benefit to the landowners. They understand their obligations. They've been working at it. I'm sort of here because they're just citizens who want to try and they love the community. And that's why my son bought the property. He didn't want to leave. He wants to be there a long time. And this is not out for profit. This is just trying to stay within the community. With that, I'm open for any questions you may have.
Usually at this point when we get applications, and Mr. Kostiuk will be very familiar with this, west of the Seine River, south of the perimeter, there's always someone who gets up and starts talking about the aquifer. And if we allow this to proceed, it's the tragedy of the commons. We all enjoy the aquifer because it's not on city water. Don't allow anyone else on the aquifer because then we'll all be drinking salt, basically.
Yeah.
My impression is, you've lived there for 30 years. We're east of the Seine here, though, of course. Yeah. So different aquifer, different. Is this a non?
It's a non-issue. I've lived this, I say, for 31 years. The only thing that ever affected my aquifer was when they built Fun Mountain and just the sheer water volume that they have. But my water from when I first moved, when I was the third house in that area, till now, all these houses, it's two-plus acre lots, all of them. It hasn't had any impact on the quality of water. I still drink my water every day. I love it. So.
Any issues here with, I'm sort of looking over, any issues here with, we were not on city sewer when I,
no.
Septic issues, any concerns?
That would all be done. Robbins? Manitoba Conservation for those. It's all private servicing here. There's no pipe services.
Yeah. No, I know that. Mm-hmm. Believe me, I know that from these folks. But but if there's no pipe to connect to, obviously, so they're going to have to do septic. Yeah. And
the only impact,
presumably on septic.
There's no. The only impact is on the utilities, which the landowners are responsible. It's underground. It's underground electrical, so we'd be responsible. The city wouldn't have any cost to that.
Okay.
There's no sewer. It's just all wells, etc.
So, and if Mr. Ziegler, if you can just take us through to new lots being created. So the vehicle access is going to come off Ramblewood for a couple of them, two of them, three. Trying to get my head around this a bit. And Halperin, one new lot that will open onto Halperin?
If you have, and I'm not sure if you have the application, all three of these lots will be off Ramblewood.
Okay.
The existing two of the existing lots are off Bud Road, and one of them was owned by Ken Budd, and the other is off of Halperin. So all these new three lots will all be off of Ramblewood.
So we're consolidating inward,
yeah,
so
inward
to speak.
Thing.
Okay. Subdividing inward. Okay. Any further questions? Halperin doesn't go all the way up to. I take your point, though, that everything else extends up past Costi Lane to Halperin Dead End.
Everything is all interconnected. I walk through there. I'm a walker, so they're all connected and they all have access. This will actually provide safer access onto Lajimodi because right now they have to go around. But that's a dangerous crossing. You have to get on. It's a gravel road across. And actually, my daughter got into a serious accident there. So luckily, this will make easier access to off of Prairie Grove. There's a loop under the bridge, which is a safer way. So I actually believe this will add to safety for residents.
Well, that was going to be my next question. Is the issue almost exclusively the issue I hear about from this part of my ward is Sioux Bud Road and that issue. So this will give people another way out. This makes coming south a bit easier.
For a lot of the houses, it'll make it much safer because now you can get onto Prairie Grove on instead of having to go Sioux Road.
Right, because right now you can't. I'm blanking on what's north of Costi. That's the.
I apologize. I'm terrible with names. I can give you a pie down to 12 decimal places, but I know all the streets. But all those streets up there, you have to go to Sioux to get up.
Donridge, thanks. You can't come down, right? Because you're going to dead end, right? You can't, which is part of this whole, people have complained about having to go all the way around. So, okay. Good.
Well, just to be crystal clear, you approve of the public service recommendation?
Pardon me?
You've read the report.
Yeah, you've read the report, and do you agree with the public service recommendation?
They got the recommendations Friday evening, so I got this last night, so I'm assuming they have to or whatever. I don't know that we could.
Should I read the recommendation?
I've read them myself, but yeah. There's some of them talking about ornamental lighting. I'm not sure what ornamental lighting is or just street lighting, but some of those distinctions. And I'm not clear on the exact fees, but they'll live with whatever they have to do. They understand that, you know, that's there.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. And you'll have the right to speak in rebuttal should there be any evidence brought forward. So Scott Ziegler is also registered in support. You don't have to speak if you don't care to, so you're all right with what you've heard. All right. Curtis Cruel, also registered in support. Do you wish to speak, or you're okay? All right. We've heard from Mr. Fast. Wayne and Jackie Dewar of 420 Bud, you're okay with what you've heard, or do you wish to speak? Okay. I think that's it. Anyone else who is not registered who is here in support? Seeing none, we'll turn then to, do we have anyone registered in opposition, Madam Clerk? No. We do have a written list of concerns from the owner at 145 Ramblewood Road North. I wonder, Mr. Kostick, I think you're familiar with this. Can you speak to any of this? Anything in here?
I just have a hard copy. I don't have a hard copy.
So we have nobody else registered on this item? Anyone else who is here for information on this item or in support or opposition?
Is that?
Got a lot of people here in the co-op.
Is that the agenda?
So that's the...
Yes. You should have one as well. Okay.
I think I've seen this, but I think I...
service response to this.
We're just
waiting for them.
Oh, we're waiting.
Specifically. Well, and Hydro may or may not even be in our jurisdiction. I'm not clear on that. So, yeah, for the record, there's, I think, at least five concerns he raises here, some of which are.
Being returned to the original road design. The cul-de-sac was a temporary, put in as a temporary thing, obviously for a turnaround. And there's actually a caveat on the two properties that front onto the cul-de-sac that they're responsible to bring it back to the original design. So it's really up to the property owners who front those two cul-de-sacs to bring it back. It was a caveat that was put on to the original developer, that he was responsible if the city required it to bring it back. So this person as a landowner, he's actually would be responsible to put it back, not the city. It's not a cost to the city. It would be a cost to him.
Okay.
The cost of building the cul-de-sac, again, that's the backer cost. There. For every tree taken down, make the extension road possible. The trees will be part of the public right-of-way. So I'm not sure why he requires or is requesting that.
So just for clarity, he's demanding that we demand the applicants replace any tree that's taken down. The trees in question here are either on private property or in the full-on street right away.
For the road, yeah. Or on private property, and we have no jurisdiction over that.
Okay. Hydro lines?
Hydro lines, if they're underground, then they have to be underground. So that's sort of given as the design.
Okay.
There would be no question there. All ditches and collection basins installed in the area be done so that our lot frontage don't become a collection basin. Yes, it's a requirement that the applicant submit lot grading plans and design it accordingly so that drainage does not go to other person, to someone else's property. That's sort of a bylaw anyways.
So. Okay, so we don't have to put that in anything pertaining to the lot drainage?
No.
Nope.
No, it's actually covered in our agreement.
Okay, thank you for that. Any other concerns?
Can I ask if, sure. if these concerns, would that change the public service recommendation? Again, just to be clear, can I ask that, being a rookie?
Sure.
Would this change the public service recommendation, these new concerns that have been brought to the table?
Nope.
Okay.
Unless you want to change it.
Right, no.
That the applicants have to build the road.
Yeah.
They have to provide drainage, grading plans.
Right.
And then
yeah. Good point.
Right.
I think there's a sort of inference here that they're chopping down the forest. The forest as it were is a road right away, isn't it? Am I missing something here?
See something too. No, it is part of the road right away, so trees would have to come down to build the road.
So it's not particularly counterintuitive that the space in between, which has trees now, is a road right away.
So the policy, though, the city's policy, when they have to remove trees, what is the policy? Is there no? I thought there was a policy that they'd have to. They just
like a tree neutral policy.
Yeah.
I'm not aware of any policy.
No. Nope. But policy no, where the right of way is.
But it's not registered as a right of way. It's privately held land as it stands right now. So, but the road would go through it.
If it was an existing
road, the city actually would have.
If it was an existing right of way.
But it's not. It's private property right now, so we don't have the authority
to. Got it. Got it. Yep. Okay.
Madam Clerk has alertly pointed out that as we are discussing concerns from a would-be opponent, that we should offer you the opportunity to rebut, Mr. Ziegler. Thank you. Well done.
I think the only issue I'd address is this tree issue, because I live there and I walk there all the time, and I'm not sure if you have the satellite image.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because if you have the satellite image, the only trees are the private property. It's actually on my son's property. It's one small, narrow piece of trees. It's all in the private land right where the road's going to go. There's no trees. There are a couple little shrubs like this tall right where the road presently ends on Ramblewood, but those would have to be gone because it'd be in the middle of the road. But this is not a forest. It's really only a group of spruce trees that you can see on a little line right here, which is where the road's going to go. So there are no real trees. I'm not sure.
Okay.
I guess he just doesn't want the trees that are on where the road's going to be. But that's the only trees that are there. I'm not sure if there's any other questions.
That's helpful. I had a question too, Mr. Jasper, which was, when I first arrived here, there was some money that had been set aside from another development for work that went into the troubled Sioux Bud Road drainage issue. I'd love to do more, but this isn't a large scale subdivision, it would seem to me, where there's, is there, And anything that can be done here, I mean, there's land dedication money, but I don't really want to target that to Sue Budd. Is that would that be my only recourse?
And land dedication, unless you specifically request it, isn't supposed to go for road improvements. It's supposed to go for parks.
Fair point. Well, I kind of suspect that the applicant would say that what they're doing enough for Sue Budd, they may, because they're probably going to draw some traffic off of it.
Yep.
Seems quite possible. Okay. Anything further for Mr. Ziegler, Mr. Jasper, anyone else? All right. Can I hand the chair to... Thank you. I will... why don't I move this, and I'll hand the chair to Councillor Allard. 20 minutes from now, where am I here? Let's get rolling. What page do I need to find? Rationing. Oh, God. Okay. Okay, I'll move that the... move to some subdivision. We have to do the two separately.
Yes.
Okay, I'll move that the report of the Winnipeg Public Service be taken as read.
Can I...
Sorry, your chair,
all those in favor?
Contrary.
Aye.
Thank you.
I'll move that the receipt of public representations be concluded.
All in favor?
Aye.
Contrary. Carried.